As we typically do, we go and greet each other in Jesus' name, and the offering plate is in the back.
To you, I'm gonna live. you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. And I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. You young people, you may go to your youth class, wherever that is. That happening outside? I thought I saw it set up outside, so a little unique setting for you tonight, but thank you, Brother Spencer, for leading our youth, doing such a great job. I thank you for all the hard work and effort you put into that. Just want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday, regularly scheduled services, Sunday morning, Sunday school happening at 10 o'clock, and then our evangelistic worship service at 11 o'clock. And then Sunday night, normally we've been having our split sessions around here, men having their session, women having their session, children having a session downstairs. But this Sunday night, we have a department heads meeting, and so there will not be any other PM activities here at the church. So just those that are head of department, we want you to come and be a part of that, so we can get all of our calendars together, dates on the calendar for the things that are upcoming. And so if you are interested in having something, I know not everybody that is a part of the department heads has, you know, something going on. There's other people outside the department heads that would like to have things, and that's fine. Just please let us know those dates so that we can put them on the calendar, make sure there's not a conflict, make sure that we can all make it happen. So if you know of something that you are planning to help out in or something that you want to have happen, please let us know that between now and Sunday so that we can plan for that and put it in the calendar. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, and do want you to continue to remember Brother Davis. I spoke with him on the phone today, doing much better. In good spirits, we had a good talk, but you know the old saying, sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, you always recognize it's something sore because it's always, you know, there and in your way. And so he's, I could tell, you know, there's a little bit of frustration and still dealing with the, you know, the bulk of the sling and all that other stuff. So let's just pray for his peace of mind and his comfort. He says he's getting maybe one out of three good nights of sleep. So just continue to remember him in prayer, and maybe just give him a phone call, tell him you're praying for him, thinking about him, and of course, that's why he's not here tonight, but do want to continue to lift him up in prayer. Anybody else, if you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you. Sister Darlene? All right. All right, this is your brother Johnny. All right, certainly. Anybody else? Sister Christy, see your hand in the back. Goodness. All right. Sure. Let's remember prayer. And Richie is the name. Last name. Pastor Richie and his family. Brother Al. All right. All right. Let's remember Rob in prayer, certainly. Andrew? Certainly. All right. Understood. Well, certainly pray. So that's Sister Rachel. All right. Certainly. Sister D. Hmm? Good. Thank you, Lord. Certainly. All right. Certainly. Certainly. All right. Oh, Sister Kelly. All right. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you, God, in time of need, God, for every request, every need, God, that's made mention here tonight, Lord. We know that you are able, God. Sister Darlene's brother Johnny, the one with a large heart, God, give the medical professionals wisdom in dealing with this situation. God, we know ultimately you are a healer of the body, God, but God, ultimately you're the healer of the soul and the spirit, God. And we thank you that we can come to you and depend upon you and trust in you, God, for Sister Andrea and the decisions she has to make regarding her surgery. God, give her peace of mind and comfort. God, give her direction as to which path to take. God, we love you. We thank you that we can come to you, believe and trust in you, God. Praise report of healing, God, the resurrection, God, and the strength of an individual, God, knowing that you are able, God, and we trust you, God, we praise you, we thank you for your goodness, Lord, for Brother Bill. We continue to lift him up in prayer, God, that you would continue to provide answers, God, and recovery, Lord, for Brother Bill Davis, God, we thank you for this great man, God, we ask that you would touch him, Lord, that you would raise him up, give him strength, God. We love you. We thank you that we can come to you, God. There's no need too big, no need too small, God, for those unspoken requests, Lord, for the pastor and his family enduring the trauma, God, of being beaten. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can have you as a peace and a help, God. Give them strength, God, to endure the trauma. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We believe in the power of prayer. We come to you in faith, believing, God, trusting in you to work, God, to use us, God, in the process, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. Jesus, in your precious name. Jesus, in your precious name. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are coming to the conclusion of our study entitled Saving Truth. So next week, look forward to maybe going into a different study. But as we bring this study to a close, we will maybe in light reference some earlier studies. But I kind of want to bring it to a close in the understanding of how we truly save truth. How you and I as believers, how we are essential, we're integral in the saving of truth, in making sure that we are keeping and offering what will help clear up the confusion that is in our world. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about gender identity. We've talked about human dignity. We've talked about genders. We've talked about a lot of stuff that maybe it's not normal church vernacular in the sense of normal study, but I think it's important that we address the issues. I think it's important that we talk about these things, that we do have an answer, the reason of the hope that is in us, that we are able to, in a loving way, talk about these things. Some of you have come to me in the midst of the study and told me about situations maybe you're dealing with at work or maybe even within your family where you're thankful that we talked about these things because it's given you a little bit more comfortability in being able to express your hope and being able to help someone who has questions, someone who maybe is confused. And so that's really what this is all about, because not only is saving truth so important for us, it's important for the world in which we live. We have to be light shining in darkness. We have to be the city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. We have to have the answers. Now, it's not necessary that we have all the answers. We can't necessarily clear up all the confusion in and of ourselves. But we know how to offer people hope. That we know how to give unto them an opportunity to see through the confusion. And so that's really what we're talking about. And I want to kind of go back to the very beginning at the onset and then bring it kind of to a close. Saving truth, saving the truth that saves us. At the very beginning, we talked about a point of reference. We talked about the importance of a fixed point of reference. We kind of use the analogy, have you ever been at a stoplight and then all of a sudden it may be the person beside you begin to roll forward and you didn't know if that was you going backwards or them going forward, and so you're for a moment you're disoriented, or maybe someone who experiences the phenomenon called vertigo where they need a fixed point of reference. They need something that will substantiate where they are or something that they can hold on in the midst of the confusion, the dizziness, the swirling around them. So we talked about the importance of a fixed point of reference. Being able to have something substantial to which we can focus upon. Right? We talked about how the fixed point of reference will orient us to where we are. Tells us where we are in a particular situation. It will help us know what direction to go. When we look at a map and we look at the compass on the map, or it tells us which way is north. There's fixed points of reference which will help us not only know where we are, but know where we're going. But let's talk about this. What about fog? What about, as I've entitled it here today, what about the fog of confusion? How many of you have ever found yourself maybe driving on the road or maybe out in nature? How many of you have ever found yourself in a dense patch of fog? It was a few nights ago, I had the opportunity. I was watching a documentary on the Amazon River. And in that documentary, they were talking about how that they take these huge cargo ships down the Amazon River, but many times during the course of the trip, and it's multiple days on the river that they're taking these big cargo ships, and more than once they have to stop in the morning because the fog is so thick on the river, they have to stop. They say the reason why they have to stop and basically throw an anchor because the fog is so thick that if they try to press on, that invariably many times they get turned around and they start going the wrong direction. And so they have to stop all this cargo, and sometimes it delays, for hours. Sometimes they have days delay because of the fog, and they have to wait for the fog to dissipate before they can continue on. I myself and others of you can attest, there's something disorienting about a thick fog. There's something, if you've ever been out in nature, been walking in the woods, and all of a sudden there's some real thick, it's like you don't know which way is almost, which way is down, because your feet are on the ground, but as far as what your surroundings are, where you're going, it's very disorienting. Unfortunately, that's what we're finding in our culture. We are finding that we are, if you will, as a society in this post-truth culture, a dense fog of confusion is surrounding our society with chaos and the clouds that are descending. Let me ask you this. Does anybody know, how does fog burn off?
Talk about fog burning off. Does anybody know how fog burns off? Brother Bill, do you know? Weatherman? Sunlight. Yes. Do you know how the sunlight burns off fog? Well, it has to do with temperature. It causes, it heats the ground and it heats the air close to the ground. And those water particles, if you will, that have accumulated and caused the fog, which they say it's a cloud that's descended down, but really clouds by definition are in the air. But it is essentially a cloud that's on the ground because it's coming together of water vapor. And when the sunlight begins to shine, it heats up the ground and it heats up the air, and those water vapors begin to evaporate. We call that burning off. We call that, we may say, early in the morning there's a dense fog. I've been, you know me, I like the outdoors. There's many times I've been early in the morning and we've been out in the duck blind and waiting, and an early morning fog sets in, and just give it a couple minutes. As soon as that sunlight comes up, it'll start warming up the area, and that fog will burn off. Well, I know, I realize it's kind of maybe a little bit cheesy, but understanding Jesus Christ is the key to clarity, for the sun burns off spiritual fog. How do we know that? Well, let's go back to the verse of Scripture that we talked about in our introduction, a very initial study. It's found in John 8. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So when it comes down to it, and really this is the crux of everything that I'm going to say tonight. When it really comes down to it, it is all about Jesus. It truly is all about Jesus. Saving truth is about keeping and offering, not only keeping for ourselves, but offering to a world caught in the cloud of confusion, offering them Jesus. Being able to, as we're raising our children and we're looking at this next generation, and there's so many things that are vying for their attention, and there's so many advancements in technology and other things, and somehow you and I, when it comes to the up-and-coming generations, we have to make them understand. We have to somehow instill into their hearts and into their lives, it's all about Jesus. You truly have to have a relationship with Him. If you're ever going to get clarity in the midst of all the confusion, it's only going to come by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, our world doesn't feel the same. Our world would think that you can educate your way out of it. Or you can have society make rules and offer rights and make laws, and that's going to help us. But as we've talked about during the course of this study, the reality is that does not address the spiritual fall. It does not address the confusion. It does not really deal with the disease of sin that is sweeping over our society. It takes you and I. And so, tonight, from confusion, for many weeks, we've talked about all the confusion that exists. We've addressed some pretty severe stuff as it pertains to sexuality, as it pertains to identity, as it pertains to human dignity. But I want you to read this quote with me. It was by a former atheist philosopher, Italian senator by the name of Marcello Pera. This is what he had to say. "If we live as Christians, we will be wiser and more aware of the dangers we face. We will not separate morality from truth. We will not confuse moral autonomy with free choice. We will not treat individuals, whether the unborn or the dying, as things. We will not allow all desires to be transformed into rights. We will not confine reason within the boundaries of science. Nor will we feel alone in a society of strangers or oppressed by the state that appropriates us because we no longer know how to guide ourselves." said a lot. What he said is true. What he said is that so many people are depending upon government. They're depending upon other people. They're depending upon maybe even their own opinion or their own feelings to be the guide. They're trying to wade through this confusion. They're essentially trying to traverse in a dense fog, and they have no idea where they're going. Caught in the cycle of sin. And it was just me, but of late, it's like I see people, and man, my heart is just grieved because, and for some reason, they, and maybe it's just a show, maybe it's just a mask, but it's almost like they're content. They're okay with it. Like it's just become a way of life, like nomads in this world of confusion, just keep wandering and without really any clear direction or without really any hope, if you will. And I believe the word is true. If we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because this life is full of complexities, and this life is full of confusion, and this life is full of people who do not have Jesus as their God. And yes, it is correct. In this world, we will have trouble. There are innumerable complexities. There is lots of confusion that exists in our culture. So that's why it's incumbent upon us. That's why it's so essential and so necessary for us to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep and offer Jesus as the only way. The only true path from confusion to clarity. Life's innumerable complexities are all marshaled under this bright, shining clarity. Here's the thing. If you want to boil it all down, if you want to look at all these studies and you want to talk about all the confusion that we've addressed, and we've talked about the way that, you know, society is losing its collective mind, and we talk about the, you know, last week when we looked at the video of those college students who couldn't even deny a 5'9 white guy that he was not Chinese or 6'7. Amidst all that, amidst all the complexities, amidst all the confusion, amidst all the individuals who are out there wandering around in this dense fog of confusion trying to find their way, all of these things can be marshaled under this clarity. Here's the beauty of the gospel. Here's the beauty of what you and I hold so dear and near to our heart. And this is why we have to keep it and keep offering it. We are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. That has to be clear. That has, and I realize we have a world that doesn't even like to reference God or acknowledge God, but we have to keep that understanding, and we have to keep offering that as the basis of some clarity that we are made in God's image. The cross and the empty tomb demonstrate how valuable that image is. Think about it. What he did for us, the price that he paid, the cross and the empty tomb demonstrate to you and I how valuable we truly are. Did Almighty God manifest himself in flesh via Jesus Christ, die for us, and pay the price for our sin? And even in the midst of our confusion, even in the midst of all the complexities of life, if we can still hang on, if we can still keep offering to people, we are made in God's image, and we are valuable, so valuable that he came and he died for us and he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave for us. He didn't die for the angels. He died for you and I. He paid the price for our sin. We are that special. We mean that much to God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the most popular verses in all the Bible. And I know, I get it. I recognize, and it sometimes as true believers, when they, you know, when they, after the big game, or maybe they have it on the black underneath their eyes in John 3:16, and I realize they may not be living the life, and I realize there are some that are trying, truly trying to make a difference, and I'm not here trying to decipher all that. What I'm simply trying to say is that we've got to keep it and offer it. We are made in God's image. And the fact that he came, manifested in flesh via Jesus Christ, and died on the cross for our sins, and rose again victorious. We've got to keep that. We got to keep offering it. We got to keep offering resurrection power through the power of Jesus Christ. It's essential. And also this, our current image is not our ultimate. Might we say it this way? Our current identity is not our ultimate identity. Again, if we can marshal all of that under this bright and shining truth, the clarity. We are made in God's image. The cross and the empty tomb demonstrate how valuable that image is. But even this image that he came and he died for, the reason why he did so is because this image is not our ultimate image. Because he had desire and he had plan for us to be with him forever. That's why I don't have hope in this life. That's why my hope is in the hereafter. What I do have in this life, what I do understand in this life, and what I'm hanging my hat on in this life is a hope in Jesus Christ. I'm not hoping in government, and I'm not hoping in intellect, and I'm not hoping in education. I am simply hoping in Jesus Christ. And I may not have all the answers, and maybe I can't clear up all the confusion, but I can offer Jesus Christ. I can offer him as the only way. And I can try to point people to the truth. We are all made in God's image. And that image is so valuable to him that he came and he died for us. And rose again. Why? So that our current image would not be our ultimate image. 1 John 3:2, beloved. Now are we yet the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. One day there will be ultimate clarity. One day we will see. Now it's through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Right now it's just shadows. Right now we all, if you will, have some level of confusion. God is not the author of it, but we all, in our walk of life, we all have some level of confusion. None of us walk in complete and utter clarity. But I do know this, the more I walk with Jesus, and the more I place his hand in my hand in his, the better I feel about the hope that I have. Day there will be ultimate clarity with no more complexities of life. But while we are here, we can only place our hope for clarity in one place. One place I can place my hope for clarity. There's only one place that I can hope to have the answer. There's only one place that I can hope to clear up the confusion. There's only one place that I can help someone who's dealing with those issues and who's struggling with those feelings and who is considering placing those feelings of over and above objective truth. There's only one place I can turn to Jesus. It's to Jesus. My speech and my preaching, enticing words of man's wisdom, it's got to be power and demonstration of the Spirit. It's got to truly introduce them to Jesus. A love that they don't find anywhere else. A help that they don't find anywhere else. An ear they don't find anywhere else. Someone that they can truly say, I don't know what it is, but there's something genuine about that person. There's something that they sincerely want to help. They may not agree with me, and they may try to be leading me in a different way, but you can tell doing it in love. They're reaching for me as no one else has ever reached for me. They're not trying to make excuses. They're not trying to just give me simple answers. They really want to help. What a difference we can make. Realize one day, yes, there will be ultimate clarity, but right now, I just point you to Jesus. I can just tell you, I don't have all the answers. I don't have every solution to the problem. I don't. But I do have Jesus. The more I walk with Him, the more the cloud of confusion is dispelled. The more I'm truly walking with Him, the clearer the path becomes. The more hope I have. What about this? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here's another quote from another person that I stole. But it was posted publicly, so I hope they're okay with it. I may not see it. That is because it is hope. If I could see it, I would not need to hope for it. My struggle, my fight, my earnest prayer, my longing in the soul may take everything in me, but my hope is always before me. One day my hope will be in front of me face to face. My joy will be full. Until then, I press on, knowing He is faithful. He is my hope. Anybody know who quoted that? Where that quote came from? Very own Brother Bill Kelly. Forgive me for stealing it, brother. Wow. Wonderfully said. You know what? For anybody that's struggling with anything, I don't care what it is, sexual identity, gender identity, human dignity, life in general, statements like that, hope. Statements like that are real. Statements like that are genuine and sincere. No matter what their confusion is, no matter where they find themselves wandering in the dense fog of confusion that may be surrounding their life, a quote like that, or somebody with that kind of wisdom and understanding that says, listen, I can't understand everything. I know I have this hope. If I could see it, then why would I then hope for it? I can't see it all right now. I don't have ultimate clarity right now. There is still some level of confusion in my own life. So I won't look down upon you, and I won't be condescending to you and your struggles, and I won't think of you as weird or a monster. Or I realize there's confusion in your life, but guess what? There's some in mine too. But I can attest that I've come a long way. And I owe all that to Jesus Christ. I owe all that to my walk in relationship with Him. So I can't offer you maybe every answer. I can't dispel all the clouds that exist in your life right now. But what I can point you to and what I can tell you is there's someone who can. There's a relationship that you can have that can take you from confusion to clarity. Can help you. Can start to dispel the fog that surrounds your life. Oh. Just understand the hope that we have that we can offer to them. It's a reason for the hope that is within us. I'm sorry, I can't empathize with some of the things you're going through because I haven't been there. I haven't done that, but I've gone through other things. Had to deal with other confusions in my life, and I've come to other crossroads in my life, and the one place that I've been able to turn to time and time again that has never let me astray, and it's never let me down, and He's never turned me wrong, and He's always led me right. I know this. I may not be able to give you an answer to your question right now, but I do know this. If you'll learn how to put your hand in His, He'll lead you in the right way. He'll take you from confusion to clarity. He'll start to dispel the fog. Jesus' historically verifiable resurrection vindicates His claim that his death pays the debt of sin we incurred for our sins. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' historically verifiable resurrection. His resurrection. Again, I would not say this to a group of Buddhists because it wouldn't be in a loving way, but I can tell to us as Bible believers, Buddha did not die and rise again. He died, but he didn't rise again. You and I as Christians are the only ones who have a historical, verifiable. We're the only ones. We can ever point people to that and help them understand. This man, who by his own admission was a Muslim and thought Christianity was, it was like some of these other things that we've discussed and that we've talked about in our society. Think about it. He rejected Christianity. But then he started to study, and then he started to look, and then he was confused. He didn't have clarity, and he began to look. And he, by his own testimony, it was those Christians that he hung around that caused him to reconsider his beliefs. Once he started looking, by his own admission, he said, it didn't take me long to find truth. It took me years to accept it. And here's the thing. Maybe wrestling with all this confusion. Maybe dealing, and sometimes, please understand when I use this term, I'm not using it in the sense of spiritually good, but good-hearted people. Caught in confusion. Not really knowing which way to go or what to do. Good families wrestling with people in their family dealing with these questions and dealing with these issues. Wondering how they're going to be able to clear the confusion. Wondering how. What's going to happen? How am I going to be able to help them? I don't know if I have what it takes to be able to bring clarity to their situation. It just seems to get more and more confused and more muddled. And now it's affecting all the relationships and we don't know what to do or how to handle it. The psychologist isn't really going to help them. I'm sorry. Medicating it. Surgically enhancing it. None of those things are truly going to help. Just addressing the symptoms of a greater disease. They need people. They need doctors, spiritual physicians. What does a physician do? Although, yeah, there's sometimes they immediately know what the problem is. There's sometimes they can make an immediate diagnosis, but then there's other times where there's tests, and there's multiple visits, and there's multiple times, and there's multiple interactions, and they're trying to pinpoint it. And those who I believe are really good physicians, they want to help. They want to give you answers. They want to be able to provide a remedy for the situation. Careful, spiritual doctors, be careful. Don't just give them an arbitrary diagnosis. Oh, well, you're dealing with those feelings? That's because you're a sinner. Thanks, doc. You understand where I'm coming from? Let there be some care and concern. Let there really be, well, let's inquire. Let's dig deeper. Let's find the source. I'm not just going to send you home with a pill. I really care. I really want to help. I really want to offer some clarity to the confusion. I want to give you answers. God manifested himself in flesh via Jesus Christ, who paid an immeasurable price for us. And if something's value is determined by its price, how valuable are we? All this, man, you need to talk about confused. That individual is confused. They may be confused, but they're still valuable. They may be wrestling with some things, and there may be things that you would never wrestle with. You never think you'd ever have to deal with those things, but they're still valuable. There's still dignity there. There's still God. They were made in God's image just like you and I. He died for them just like he died for you and me. He rose again that they would be victorious just like he rose again that we would be victorious. And I understand that what they're wrestling with now and what they're dealing with now is not ultimately what God has. Give them some hope. Save truth by keeping and saving Jesus Christ as the only way to really provide clarity. The only way to truly dispel the fog of confusion. I don't pretend to know all the answers. I don't. I'm going to be meek and humble enough to tell you that I don't. Don't know why you're dealing with this. Don't know why you're struggling in that area. I've never struggled in that area. I don't know why. I tend to have all the clarity in order to clear up every bit of confusion. I just don't. I tend to be able to address every situation with an immediate solution. Acting like there's just no, I'm not acting like there's no hope at all. What I'm saying is I don't have to pretend that I know everything or have everything. I don't have to pretend that I'm able to offer you an answer for every problem in your life. I can't. It's not in me. It's a beautiful thing. I don't have to. I do, however, know someone who can set anyone free. I do know that there is someone who can set anyone free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. Your confusion is not my confusion. My confusion is not your confusion. Now, I'm not struggling with the same things you're struggling with, but we're all struggling to some extent. And we're all trying and we're all endeavoring to make it in life, this life that is full of complexities and full of situations and full of circumstances. And it's comforting. There is a level of freedom and understanding that I don't have to have all the answers. I do, however, have someone who does. I do, however, have someone who can set anyone free from any confusion, from any addiction, from any wonderings, from any feelings. I have someone who can set you free. Someone who can take you from confusion to clarity. It's taken me for a while, and I've been enjoying the journey, and I don't always get it right, and sometimes I wander off on my own. I've come to realize the more often I keep my hand in his, and we're walking together, the better life is, and the more hope I have, and the more clarity abounds in my life, and the less confusion reigns. Jesus Christ equals saving truth. Listen, I'm this is not cliche. This is truth. Jesus Christ equals saving truth. He will save you. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ equals saving truth. We save truth by keeping and offering Jesus Christ as the only one who can take us from confusion to clarity. The only one. You mean you believe in those principles and those precepts? You believe in the words that Jesus said? Yes, I do. So you can explain everything he said in the Bible? No, I can't. And if you can, please give me a Bible study. Because I can't. There's still things I'm struggling with. There's still things I'm trying to understand. There's still things I'm searching. There's still I don't have ultimate clarity. And I will not in this life. One of these days I will. And so for right here and for right now, I keep holding on to the one who's going to take me there. The one who is going to bring me to ultimate clarity. The one that I will ultimately see him as he is. I don't know what I'm going to be like. I don't know what it's all going to be like. I don't know what ultimate clarity will be. No. But I want to go there. But I want to be there. And I truly believe that he's the only way for any one of us. And if he's the way that we make it there to ultimate clarity, then he's the way that we make it down here with more clarity. He's the way that we're able to dispel the confusion. He's the way that we're able to get answers to the questions. He's the way to able to get solutions to the problem. He's the way. We have about 5 minutes. And I want to take these 5 minutes to open the floor for question. Now, in case you missed it, in the last 40 or so minutes, I may not have all the answers. That's okay. You see, we at some point in time, we've got to be more comfortable with the questions. We do. And we've got to be more comfortable in the reality of not being able to give them an answer right away sometimes. Let's study it together. Let's pray about it together. Having said that, comment, question? Open the floor for, we've got 5 minutes. Man, I must have done a great job teaching this.
And it's a great question. Do you, and here would be my reply in that situation. I would have to trust that you would have to get on your knees and you would have to pray and say, God, direct me. Because there's two things that we must have in every situation. If we're going to be like Christ, there's two things we have to have. We have to have unconditional love and uncompromising truth. A lot of times we look at the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery in the Bible. We say Jesus gave her a pass. No, he did not. He did not give her a pass. Matter of fact, his last words to her
were go and sin no more. He was the embodiment of unconditional love, but also the embodiment of uncompromising truth. I love you. I'm the only one with the right to stone you. Neither do I condemn thee. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Even in our court of law, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Question? Which certainly is not the case. I mean, and knowing the difference between the two, knowing the difference between conviction and condemnation, even in our own court of law, there is a difference between a conviction and a condemnation. There is. When you are convicted of a crime, it's different than being condemned as a result of that crime. And dealing with people and helping people understand the difference. First of all, there has to be a level of recognition. There has to be the level of recognition that I am sinful. And the confusion that exists in my life is not as a result of God's dealing with me. The confusion that results in my life comes from one source. And if we can ever get them on the basis of recognition, to recognize that those confusions and those struggles and those things that they are dealing with. My wife sent me this link right before service tonight, so I'm just going to, and we've known this is coming for a while, but here's the thing. When you're caught in the confusion and you can't see and there's no clarity, it just gets more and more confused. And so now, I don't know if you saw this or not, CBN just posted an article. There was a TEDx talk. It was, I believe, at a German college, university of, I don't know, some German school. And a medical student made this comment and took the whole time during the TED talk. And it got so much backlash. Now, here's the thing. It's good that now it got so much backlash. But if we're not careful and we continue in this confusion, it won't continue to have this backlash. Because what she said in the middle of her TEDx talk, which was basically the same lines of saying that pedophilia is the same as homosexuality or heterosexuality. Now, exactly, that's our response. You have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. And thankfully, they got so much backlash that YouTube actually took down the video. But that's where our world is going. That's the kind of confusion. And so they can't differentiate. Right now there's backlash. But what about 10 years from now? Did we think 10 years ago that we would be accepting of the things that we are accepting of right now in a society? Absolutely not. Did we think that we would be changing definitions in medical journals so that we don't offend people who have proclivities and propensities for an immoral lifestyle? Those questions are hard. Yes, we're going to get faced more and more. That's why we need this kind of teaching. But we've got to have the two things. We have to have uncompromising truth and unconditional love. Being able to differentiate, you're going to have to put your hand in Jesus' hand and say, Lord, lead me, guide me on. Because, folks, it's going to be the same thing that saves you and I saves them. The same thing that saves you and I saves them. The same walking relationship that will save me is the same walking relationship that will save them. I hate to break it to you. The church ain't going to save you. The pastor ain't going to save you. Your singing voice ain't going to save you. Your talent ain't going to save you. There's only one who's going to save you, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's the same for each and every one of us. You can stand to your feet. And the questions are there, and they abound, and the confusion is, man. Here's what you do not lose hope. Saint of God, do not lose hope. Don't think the cloud is so thick that the sun cannot shine through. You've got to believe that He can save anybody and everybody. Same thing which brought me out will bring them out. Same thing which saves me is going to be saving them. Hold on to that hope. Save truth. Keep it. Keep offering Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love You. Oh God. Oh, how we need You. Oh, there are so many complexities of life and so many things, God, which we deal with, God. Wrestling, spiritual wrestling would take place among our friends, among families, God. Lord, help us. Oh, we need You, God. Dispel the fog, God. Help us see, to give us clarity, God, for the next step. God, to order our steps in Your Word, to make sure we're doing what we should be doing, God, to manifest uncompromising truth and unconditional love. We thank You. We have Your Word. We thank You. Ultimately, for a walking relationship with You that will guide us, that will take us from confusion to clarity. It is the hope that we can offer anybody and everybody. It is the bright, shining clarity that will dispel the fog of confusion. And knowing You and having relationship with You. We love You. We praise You. We thank You. In Your precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in Jesus' name.